Blog Talk Radio.
Peel and replace, because John McCain, you look at his campaign, his last campaign, was all about repeal and replace, repeal and replace. So he decided to do something different, and that's fine. And I say we still have a chance to, oh, we're going to do it eventually. We're going to do it eventually. Oh, with Luther and everybody, we're going to do it. Luther and I and everyone in this arena tonight are unified by the same great American values. We're proud of our country. We respect our flag.
Shut up, Donnie.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now.
Yeah, out. Right. Big tough guy.
He's fired!
That was the President of the United States saying that. Welcome to Here Be Monsters Radio. This is the Sunday show. And for the record, that was what 45 said last night. Now, anyone who knows their American history, especially their Southern history, knows that the term son of a bitch has a lot to do with slaves in the South. And anybody who would use a term like that in a predominantly, well, not predominantly maybe, but really more than half, come on, of the sports players in the NFL being people of color, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Keep a black man to say that just, to me, that was just, you know, slam the door shut. That's a white.
That's way over the top, as usual. This guy is always inflaming the issue. He isn't uniting people at all. He's dividing everybody. That he wants to divide and conquer. This is what the practice that bastard is following.
That's his only policy, Jack, is division.
He's worthless. Absolutely worthless.
On the same note, today the response came. It came first at 10:30 a.m. our time. Over in London, England, when the Ravens and the Jaguars took the field, before they did, the anthem was played. Over 27 players were on their knees in every one of them, all along between Ravens and Jaguars and owners, had their arms linked together. That is a strong message.
Yes, and it's solidarity to the max, and good for them. You know, this is such a trivial, stupid argument. It just reminds me, you know, how certain people, conservatives, are. I remember years ago when long hair was in, and I had long hair, and I remember I went outside of a drugstore, and I ran into this guy, and he looked like a normal guy, but he just looked at me and glared at me and said, "Why don't you get a haircut, you dirty looking?" You know, and I was always fastidious. I was never dirty. I never had grease slobs all over my face and stuff. So I don't know where the hell this guy was coming from. "Why don't you get a haircut?" He says. So I said, "Why don't you go brush your teeth? Get out of my face." You know, I don't take guff from people about trivial bullshit. And that's exactly what Chump was doing.
Nobody should. He said, you know, they should respect our flag. I will put it to you that if there was a buck to be made in it, the son of a bitch would wipe his ass with the American flag. And now that I've been, you know, Gwen for the day, let me also say that at 1 p.m., the Steelers versus the Bears came to the field. Except for this, the Steelers stayed in protest of the national anthem in their locker room until it was over. And then the Bills and Broncos came, and there were men on their knees and men with arms linked. Players, and many owners were linked with these guys too. The Buffalo Bills and the Broncos, many took to their knees during the anthem play.
Yep.
In Foxborough, the Texans versus the Patriots. Many Patriots. Bless them. Massachusetts. took.
That's good because their owner was, and Tom Brady were big Trump supporters. I don't know how they feel right now, but that's great.
Tom Brady. Oh, my God. And then we had the next one up was the Eagles versus the Giants. Men on their knees, men with arms linked. Players.
Good.
Say men, I mean the players. Members of the Philadelphia Eagles did not take a knee, but they raised their fists.
Oh, yeah, fine. Like 1968.
Along with their coach and their owner. Yes, you're right, Jack, right there.
Great.
The national anthem was sung in Detroit on one knee. Detroit Lions, many
cool.
were kneeling. Many of them. That was the Lions versus the Falcons. Don't know, can't see the Falcons. Then we have the Saints versus the Panthers today. Many of the Saints just sat on the bench.
Right.
You can see where many of the men were linked with their arms.
And that is their right. That is their right. So we shouldn't even be discussing this. It's so trivial and so stupid.
No, this is where I might disagree with you. It's the fact that first of all, I heard it said today, and it was pretty awesomely said too by the ESPN commentator that first of all, it's not in their contract that they have to, you know, do anything during the national anthem.
Right.
It is in the rule book that was put together in the 30s. That, you know, the players come and they stand and the national anthem is played and there's a military representation. You have to remember, too, that I'm looking at commondreams.org here. They've done a pretty good lineup of what's happened today. And you can see they've taken pictures of many of the fans who have signs that say, everyone, take a knee.
Haha, cool.
Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers versus the Vikings.
Minnesota Vikings, yeah.
Yeah, you got Vikings and Buccaneers on their knees.
Yeah.
I mean, today, in the sports world today, I mean, even the Colts, they told Trump to kiss their ass.
Colts and the Browns played. Yeah, that's right. You know, it isn't limited just to sports figures, although overwhelmingly they have rejected Trump's notion that somebody should be, Colin Kaepernick should be fired, that son of a bitch should be fired. Why, that son of a bitch and bastard is a president. He ought to be fired. He's worthless. But regardless, entertainment figures. Stevie Wonder made a big. He's not a political guy, but he made a big show last night at Global. Citizen thing.
MSNBC. Yeah, he got down on both knees with his son.
Right.
And it should be said too, because at 4 o'clock before we went on the air, the game is what, halftime or better now. Seahawks and the Titans played. And the Singers in Tennessee with the honor guard behind them holding the colors got on their knees to sing, the anthem. Now that's the symbolism here is incredible.
It's solidarity, and people are rejecting this notion that you've got to do it this way and not that way and all that nonsense, all that bullshit that we're being fed by 45, who's an absolute jerk. But regardless, it's completely stupid to even have an argument about it. You know, people, first of all, sports have gotten very militaristic. I go to a baseball games quite often, as you know, and every single time they've got to honor some serviceman, or they got to do this and that and the other thing. You know, it's great. These guys, they did their time in the service. They served our country, this, that, and the other thing. But why at a baseball game, a sporting event, do they have to draw a special thing to that? It's just, it never used to be that way. And all of a sudden now, oh, every single game they've got to do something militaristic. It's insane.
It really,
it's overblown.
Yeah.
It's too militaristic. It's too pro-military. And, you know, we've got our fingers in too many pies all across the world, and that's one of the reasons our economy is floundering. Is plus we favor too many billionaires too. But regardless, you know, we got to get within ourselves here again and quit being so ridiculous. The point is
also that it begins to unify people sitting in those stands, the sports stands.
Right.
I don't think, you know, if you were to do this in NASCAR, everybody would walk away because most of them guys, I think, are Trump fans. Myself, personally, I enjoy.
Oh, sure.
I enjoy Formula One racing, but NASCAR, and I know I'm going to get a lot of crap for that one, but hey, that's the way I
enjoy. You know, that's what you like. Who cares? Who gives a shit? That doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you're anti-anything.
I am a horsehide person. I would rather have a box at Fenway than a box down at the Orange Bowl, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not a big football fan, save for this. I love high school football. I adored watching my nephew play. And he was actually invited to go over and play in the European Football League. He decided
cool.
to become a first responder here at home, which he's just gone through his first tour with Hurricane Irma. I'm very proud of him, but you know what? He loves this game. His mother loves this game. They are big football fans.
Well, there's high school and college, and then there's the pros, and they're a whole different animal.
Well, college is pretty up there, too.
Yeah,
but
it's gotten kind of ridiculous, too. I agree.
Conference champ. That's why he got the invite. But he's now the defensive coach for his high school football team during their season. And one of the things that he said, you know, yeah, I'm glad to do this, especially with a per diem salary, if you will buy the most expensive headgear for these guys that you can get. Because one of the reasons he did not take that up, loving the game so much, is because he knows that in his later years, he's already going to suffer from all the injuries he's taken from football. So this is not a game that, you know, of course, football does a lot for the community. What kid doesn't love the sports hero, too? I mean, you know, and speaking of which, yesterday the first Major League baseball player got on his knee. There's one other. Oh, of course, the Twitter tirade by Trump on this that's been going on since last night through.
Now that's childish. That's really childish. Twitter, got to put out his Twitter every damn day, especially against and to lambast people that don't disagree with him. That guy is wacko. I'm telling you, he's wacko.
Well. You know, LeBron James tweeted him, called him a bum.
Yes, I saw that. Great.
He called him a few other things, too. But he also brought him to task and said, you know, I guess the Donald tweeted back to him, well, you know, this football team isn't going to be invited to, or your
to the
team
White House.
Is going to be invited by, he said, in February or whatever, and James's smart belly tweeted back, "Who the hell says you're going to be in the White House in February?"
I love that.
You know,
I love that.
I mean, it has its moments, but to absolutely to and welcome back Wayne.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi,
thank
Wayne.
You.
Welcome
yeah,
back.
Hello. Always a pleasure, folks.
It's been quite a morning. I don't know if you've been keeping up with what's been going on the football fields across this country and over in Europe, but it seems that football players are telling Trump to go, you know, do what?
Go jump in the lake.
Yeah.
Right.
Do what? There's a lot of solidarity. Now, this
yes.
is where a friend of mine from Glastonbury, England, who's a very large American and now European football fan, loves American football. He said, I think 45 is bit off an adversary. He'll never win here. He'll never beat this adversary. And he was talking about sports. And
right. Well, I was going to say, it's not just football, but baseball and basketball. LeBron James, the statue of LeBron James telling him, hey, you're full of crap. We don't give a
yep.
damn what you say. We have the right to speak out for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Whether you like it or not.
And, you know,
that has a lot of clout.
Let's put this into perspective. We haven't discussed this yet. And this is a truism.
I'm sorry.
You know, the fact of the matter is this. There's no disrespect or anti-Americanism being shown here. It's perfectly all right in my book. And the reason is that nobody's turning their back on a leader or doing what they did to Hitler in World War II. Certain occupied countries, when he'd go down the street in his car, they'd turn their back on him. We aren't doing that sort of thing. We're not tearing up the American flag. We're not burning it in effigy. We're not doing those things. It's just that people are saying, hey, we've got to draw attention to the racism in America and the way blacks are getting killed mercilessly, constantly, by policemen
right.
all across the country. And, you know, they've got to do it in such a way that people start to notice and start to talk about it. And I don't fault them at all for this.
No. And the thing is, here's one of my favorite things. Of course, Trump, in all his ignorance, says, never before has any kind of thing like this has ever been done before, the demonstration
oh.
against, you know.
Right, so you used to sew flags
that's what the Olympics in Mexico when the
ago.
Three track runners took first place, three American track runners, I'm sorry, there was two American track runners took first and second or first and third and held up their right arm in a fist.
In 1968, yep, at the Olympics.
Thank you
yeah.
very much. 1968,
really,
right? Yes, it has been. And now that is an iconic emblem. A
yes.
rally point of this
for
is black resistance to
yep.
the atrocities committed
yes.
upon them as a people.
Yes, there were football players today that did that. And also, it's only recently that that's come back around home to hear its fullest story, too. The other thing that is really important here, I think, is the fact that so many, and my sister reminded me of this, you know, she said, don't forget, and you should remember this easily because I am the baseball fan in the family, baseball
mm-hmm.
players went on strike.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there is a union at work.
Right.
And that's the voice ultimately that all of those team players have together that they can speak through. Of course, the baseball player strike had nothing to do really with what is going on here, but who says that new ground can't be
the same principle applies though.
Yeah, I think she made a big point there.
Yeah.
You can't and to call, you know, to call them sons of bitches when
yeah.
it's obviously all about
all
black
this tough guy stuff.
Injustice
right.
against black people by police that are rampant, are rabid, and not all cops are. I'm not saying that. Please be
no,
clear.
Right.
But there are a lot of them. I mean, they really got to do something about their psyche value.
It's getting way too prevalent.
Unfortunately, yes. And unfortunately, down south, there's a lot of the Klansmen who are going
oh, yeah.
into the police enforcement aspects.
Yep.
The most racist, the most vile cop in the 60s was Bull Connors, who was
right.
basically the governor of Alabama.
Alabama
was afraid
yeah.
of him. Right,
yeah.
And it was him who said, when this bus tour comes in, you know, the Freedom Riders on the bus. He says, you got 15 minutes with them before my cops come out to try to squelch down the riot.
Well,
you know, get out of there. You got 15 minutes. Get out of there. Nobody will be arrested, and you can whip their ass.
That's the thing. It's supposed to be part of American, you know, police fraternity rules and standards that that kind of personality is not allowed in to service in the community that way, especially carrying firearms. I mean, I'm saying
right.
that those psych evals must have not been updated when their fucking handbooks were.
Yeah.
It's just, and again, to say again, to have the President of the United States, oh, God, I want to retch every time. To have him call them, as I played at the beginning of this show, those sons of bitches, and not to know your American history, especially in the South. And
oh, he's ignorant.
Slavery, and what that term implies to people of color, especially in the South. I mean, I use the term all the time. It ceased a very long time ago to have any implication of where it comes from. But now perhaps we will think before we speak. I know I certainly will, again, to say, well, that son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that's rolled off the tongue. But when 45 said that, and the implications of saying that to a large majority of black sports players in this country, he just, to me, that's him saying, I'm a white supremacist. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, he race baits all the time, let's face
it. He's proven that fact over and over again in the last several weeks. There's no doubt about how much of a Klansman neo-Nazi he is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's carried it to the nth degree. You know, he's read very heavily the Nixon playbook way back years ago. Nixon employed this stuff to turn the Republicans into the majority party in the South against Lyndon Johnson.
He took the Blue Dog Democrats. Right? He sent Agnew, the Maryland governor, from my state after the – and again, I tell people to listen to go out and search down called the Cambridge Convergence. It's a Stanford University paper talking about the history of the racial riot in Cambridge, Maryland. This is where Harriet Tubman's from. And trust me, there's some good old boys that still want that slave back down there in Cambridge.
Yeah.
And once they saw what he did and the rhetoric he was pulling off in Maryland, Buchanan, who was a speechwriter for Nixon while they were running, said, you need to take a look at this man. And the Republican Party sent him all over the South. Because Kennedy and Johnson had basically signed the Civil Rights Bill. Kennedy was forcing the black kids into my kid's school kind of stuff, you know. And there was a lot of those Klansmen resentments. That's when the South went from Democratic to Republican.
I know this for a fact. I saw it happen first time. Yeah.
And it's always been Klansmen mentality.
It's called the Southern Strategy. And,
exactly.
It's terrible.
It was a horrifying thing to have done. But now we're right back at it. We need to...
Well, the sad thing is that it has worked for the conservative and the Klansman faction of this country. And it's worked for them. It's enabled Republicans to gain complete control of... This is not today's Republican Party is a lot different than the way it first started out, and even the way it was even in the 60s and stuff. It's way far to the right of where it used to be. And
because they got empowered.
Right.
They're feeling more empowered today than ever before since the early 60s.
Oh, exactly. Yep.
Now, they basically it's just about gathering votes. They didn't look at what they were doing to themselves. But now they've got to deal with it. And now you have all kinds of people all over the world saying things like, wow, you got a president. He's a traitor to your country. And he's
yes, yes. And he is a traitor.
Amazing.
All the intelligence community says He is a traitor. He has solicited sedition facts against this country.
And he is.
That he has basically brought this level of nationalism way. I mean, we are the biggest beacon on the planet. And today, thankfully, or actually it was, I don't know if it was yesterday, actually, on their end. No, it was today. Today, the leader of the free world won her seat back, Angela
Merkel. Oh, Angela Merkel won. Great.
Great. I was wondering about that. Very good.
13% of the vote went to nationalist right-wing seats, and that's
in
not
Germany,
Well, you know, it doesn't matter if it's Germany, it's France, but here's another thing.
Anywhere. France or anybody.
When people deny that Russia has been interfering through cyber warfare with all the democracies of the West, because it doesn't fit in with their lefty left politics in this country. I've just about had it up to my back teeth.
Well, you know, it's very frivolous. People shouldn't be arguing. Leftists are the last people in the world who should be arguing amongst themselves. It's just stupid. Historically speaking, time after time, when the left fights among itself, the right wins. And goddamn it, we have enough right influence right now. Let's get commonsensical and quit fighting people.
It doesn't really matter, Jeff, because right now people are not buying it. There's been way too much over the board, and they've got a voice with the internet. Lefty, way left, has got a voice. That is especially American socialists, American communists. And look, I've got a lot of friends who are. I am not a socialist. I'm not a communist. I am a motherfucking liberal. But now that's a bad word amongst a lot of people because of the bots going around saying, you know, you're a snowflake.
And I wonder how much of this is funded or secretly aided by right-wing forces to create division and discord.
Oh, tell Rush Limbaugh was doing that back in the 80s when he was saying, you know, those liberals, you know, those goat fuckers.
The point is, gentlemen, that there's cyber warfare going on, and the first thing that should have been done, and I do blame Obama for not doing more than he did, for fearing that he would look like he was trying to throw some election or something. Well, the rug got way pulled out from underneath it because he knew that all of the voting machines in different states were being tampered with. He knew what was going on. Well, France, Germany, England, Holland, all of them, the politicians in that country knew because Putin has been doing this for about 10 years.
Yeah.
He's gotten, his people have gotten very good at this. What this country should be focused on before a lot of things, you know, there's a lot we have to deal with, but before a lot of things is the warfare that is going on in cyberspace.
Cyber warfare, that's right.
I got to throw a big, fat, really hard punch right here to Mark Zuckerberg. I thought more of the guy than for him to stand back and understand how much it did on Facebook, how much the Russians interfered with the political agenda through Facebook, than he was willing to admit for fear.
And they even paid in rubles, for Christ's sake, for those goofy ads.
And now he's
honest to God, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
Now he's doing it, but it just really, because Facebook is a founding platform of what we are watching as the emergence of a global consciousness coming out that we are part of. And it's important and vital to understand. I mean, I've been saying this for a long time, guys. You got to intuit your news. You really do.
And, you know, we can't allow Putin and his forces to circumvent this.
A lot of shows that people really depend on and really like. Hell, I'm a huge fan of Lee Camp, but he's on RT television, which is a Russian instrument of propaganda and is responsible for a lot of the embedding of the bullshit that went on in our last election.
Let me stop you for just a minute, Gwen, because I watch some programs from RT, and most of the people on there, they're free to present whatever they want, and that goes for Tom Hartman, it goes for Watching the Hawks, it goes for Ed, what was his name, he used to be on NBC, MSNBC, Ed Schultz. You know, they all have their own programming, and nobody's telling them what to broadcast or what to say. So it isn't as clear-cut, oh, they're Russian, so they're no good. That's not true.
That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, and it makes perfect sense that RT would give this kind of platform to a lot of voices because it validates what they're up to. I'm saying that. I'm saying that it gives them a broad audience, and that's what they want. They're not.
They're still a very small segment of the cable audience, very small, minuscule almost.
They are, but look, there's people on there that should get a broader audience than they're going to get because of this, too, in a reverse kind of psychology. I'm just saying, here I am saying, I don't trust RT. No, I don't. Do I trust Tom Hartman? Do I trust Lee Camp? Well, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
But I do not trust RT.
Are you suggesting that they're being willing dupes of the Russian government somehow?
I think some of them know what the fuck is going on. Yes, I do. Oh, my God.
Well,
I wouldn't think as much of them as I do as who they are and what they talk about if I didn't think that they were suspectful of what's going on. No, I don't think that every show on RT is a propaganda blade for Putin. No, it couldn't be.
Your position is that they're just allowed to present their thing without any interference, just so that RT can broaden its audience and somehow one day lower the boom on us, you think, huh?
No, I think they're already lowering the boom, honey. I really do. And
I don't see it myself, but I mean, I believe that the danger is there and that it could happen, but I just don't see it from the programming I've been watching, and
I haven't seen any indication
of that.
I don't question what you're saying at all. I don't question that. And I'm not seriously giving thumbs down to Tom Hartman or Lee. Or there's a few other shows on there, and I myself go and watch, but I don't watch it on RT. I watch it on their
website.
Their websites, yes.
Right.
That's where I get. There's another group out there that I used to watch, and I still get their emails and sometimes watch, called Real News. The Real News, and they do segments on this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden, for the last like 8 months or so, I have watched and listened to what I know is absolute bullshit about the unfolding of our political dilemmas in this country being presented in such a way that is puppeteering. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Sure. You know, it makes you long for the good old days when it was only Fox News that was disseminating bullshit.
Well,
who would ever thought?
To do with itself either. But the thing is that you really do have to look for looks.
Well, you've got to keep your senses and you've got to examine. You just can't accept everything. You've got to examine it. You've got to be somewhat doubtful until it's proven true. You know, that's the way I've always maintained.
Then again, there's a lot of proof in the pudding that how many different states, including my own, the elections were not only by the Republicans purging votes, but also
by Putin and the Russians.
Yes, that they were punched by, you know, and it's like, Oh my freaking God. You mean to tell me they are not on top of this with our intel networks? And that's another thing. Nobody trusts our intelligence anymore. And that's real bad. In my estimation, it is real bad for the country. And you've got thank for the majority of that going on? Well, a lot of the information through the internet has been out there herky-jerking around. I mean, who of us didn't see those first dumps from WikiLeaks and go, oh, wow, oh, my God, this is information we need. And they were being backed up by people who should really be given awards, people like Snowden, people like Johnson.
Right.
And yet WikiLeaks is nothing but a tool for whatever the Russian dumpsters are dumping over to him right now, especially during our last presidential election. Julian Assange has always been an egotistical mind screw that has used whatever platform he felt would get him and his agenda down the road the quickest. People who have worked with him have come out and said, you know, you just don't know what the guy's going to do. It's in his whim. You talk about Donald Trump. Well, you could mirror a guy like Julian Assange to Donald Trump. Now, that's stuff that's been said out there. Intuitive. Does that
Well, I understand where you're coming from. I think they're completely different, but they do employ sometimes the same methodology. And I would say Trump, he's kind of instinct. He just goes by instinct and how he feels at the moment, whereas Assange is a lot more determined, and he has a real plan going. I don't think Trump has any kind of plan. I think it's just how he feels at the moment, and he just responds. He doesn't have the brain power to really formulate something that's worthwhile of any sort, you know?
I've got to tell you, at this point, Jack, if Julian Assange dumped records saying that if I had just flushed my toilet and Assange dumped records saying that there was feces in the system, I would doubt it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's basically...
Well, he has a motive. He has a motive. There's no doubt.
He has his own motive, which I think is the same motive that most people in these positions really come
But
to.
Again, Gwen, people have to be discriminating, and they have to look seriously, and they have to verify. You know, you just can't accept stuff. You've got to verify it, and you can't just reject stuff either. You've got to verify it.
And
people got to make informed opinions, and that, part of that information comes from digging and finding out on your own different stuff.
Absolutely. Do you agree with me? Can I ask you this question? Do you think that the Washington Post and its publishing of all of these different forms of information on guys who broke into the Watergate building and where that led and the eventual publishing of all the president's men, do you think that that was integritous journalism? Do you think that was groundbreaking? Do you think
it's
1972?
Well, that's a good question. I'm sure they did it for their own benefit to a certain extent, but in the process they did a very good thing for the American public. They exposed the inherent crookedness within the Nixon regime.
Right. And I'm going to say to you that there are a lot of fine American journalists that are working at this moment to try and expose what's going on once again. And a lot of these journalists are being called corporate dupes and working for the 1% and yada yada
well,
yada.
Well, some of them are, but a lot of them aren't. And you know, With this Trump, one of the only good things about his presidency and his outrageousness is that it has fueled a lot of new investigative journalism that we have suddenly discarded all of a sudden. But now all of a sudden it's back in play, and that's a healthy thing.
Well, you know, in listening to and I think there's a lot of politicians who say the same thing, and a lot of journalists that are saying the same thing right now. It was because of, especially CNN, but the coverage of this last election that handed Trump all of this wonderful hate to work with, they just gave it to him. They just covered him because of the sensationalizing.
Oh, absolutely. They gave him tons more airtime than anybody else.
Yes, he did. 18%. 18% of the actual issues were focused during this last election by the major media. 18%. The rest was about Donald Trump or Hillary's emails, and that's about it. Hillary
and how pathetic that was. What a non-scandal that was.
And yet and all, you still got all these people saying, oh, well, Hillary and the Democrats pushed, you know, Bernie Sanders out, and yada, yada, all these.
Oh, yeah, well, there's a lot of bullshit going around everywhere.
Going around. Nobody bothered to read what the Democratic platform came up with at the convention working.
It was a wonderful platform.
It had a lot of
Bernie
Sanders
urging.
Platforms in that.
It was
that was a Bernie Sanders platform.
It was.
Really, it was a combination of them both, I would say, equally.
Well, Bernie had a heavy hand in
I was gonna
what,
say,
the way it
well,
finally
Bernie
came
had
out.
His say in there. Absolutely.
Yes,
Bernie had his say in there.
He would have wanted a heck of a lot more. Bernie is now going Medicare for all, putting that into the conversation right
and
now.
And I have no problem whatsoever with that. No problem whatsoever. It's common sense, and the rest of the world practices it. Why the hell do we got to be the oddballs that allow insurance companies to make billions of dollars off us?
Right. Every medical, and a lot of medical insurers, too, by the way, but every medical from AMA to all the way down the line are against this Republican bill. It's all about
they hate it.
People like the
code. Oh, incidentally, tomorrow night, I just want to draw everybody's attention to this. Tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern time on CNN, there will be a debate between Bernie Sanders and Amy Klobuchar, Senator Amy Klobuchar, on one side against Graham and Cassidy and their bill on the other side, and it should be fascinating watching.
I'll bet. Here's the other thing. Let me interject real quick. You know, Australia had a very severe, you know, anti-insurance law that went through. It was such a damn disaster that the backlash was, we have Medicare. So maybe what this country needs to see in this 2 years here is if they do get that Graham piece of crap, let's
get
kill everybody on insurance, then the next election will have such a backlash we will have Bernie Sanders Medicare for all.
I think we will anyway.
Yeah, we might already be there. Especially due to the fact people came out and spoke against it, you know, just a few months ago, and everybody applauded John McCain's backbone of saying, no, this is crap, screw you, you know, thumbs down. And we're back at it again just a few months later. I think there's a lot of Americans that are pissed off.
Yeah, I agree.
And if they're not, they should be.
Gentlemen, do you know what happens if they push this through?
It's horrible.
But hear me for a sec. When this goes through, first of all, the emergency rooms in this country will fill to what they call the code black at constant levels. For I think they can probably take that kind of pressure for maybe 3 to 4 weeks. That's the first crisis. The second crisis is going to be the death toll. The death toll is going to be staggering because of lack of medical care and pharmacology.
Right. People won't get their treatment for cancer, cancers. They're not going to get the treatment, and they're going to die.
Forgetting the pharmacology, how many people depend, especially through Medicaid, depend, and I'm one of them, on pills to keep themselves from having heart attacks, to keep themselves alive, basically.
Right.
The death toll is within 6 months is going to be so outrageously bad that then there really will be pitchforks and hammer handles, and you won't even
The Republicans are bound determined to pass something that'll get rid of Obamacare. They've been harping this shit for the last 8 years, and Trump is so hungry to sign something to say that he did something. That son of a bitch, he'd sign anything. He'd sign your left cheek if that would get him some recognition. That's how hard
he
up
has no problem with killing your mother.
Yeah.
It's
pathetic.
This is not about health care. With the Republicans, it's about losing donor money that gives them TV ads to get reelected.
Right.
They don't see the forest for the damn trees. They think that, like, having a guy like Trump win the election, which he really didn't. He never won the election.
No, he didn't win. Hillary won the election. Let's face it.
It's the
Electoral College bullshit.
Well, and the Electoral College was monkeyed with, I think.
Exactly.
But the whole point of this is that Republicans, basically, and listen, between Republicans and Democrats, not all Republicans are bad, but the majority of them really are. I think the majority of Republicans that are in D.C. right now in many of the state houses and governorships in this country are traitors to the American country. I think
and they're shills. They're shills for big industry, especially big pharma, and for the medical industry. I mean, it's disgusting. We are not being represented. We're being dictated to by a small minority of goofballs.
People vote ideologue, and I will equate this with what I was talking about and what Jack is always talking about. We can't fight among ourselves, but too many of the way left, all they are is ideologues anymore. Autocratic fodder for their own causes instead of compromising, talking, and governing. And it's just as it's a much smaller crowd, I guess, with the left groups, but which is surprising to me, but basically is. But there's a lot of hate out there amongst the right, and we lost.
Well, the mainstream media fosters a lot of this bullshit, and people are being fed a lot of bullshit, and a lot of people are believing it. There's only a few people out there that are really questioning things and really doing due diligence to finding out what in the hell is really going on. They accept what is fed them. It's just it's like pablum. They just suck it right down and give me another bar. You know, it's disgusting. But you know, that's why we're on the air, is we're trying to fight this ignorance with truth and fact, and we're not presenting corporate mainstream bullshit.
People want to be led, though. I mean, Jack.
Oh yeah, a lot of people do.
Don't you feel good when you were? I don't know if you were at a Bernie speech, or the last one was Bob Kennedy. I don't know, but didn't you feel great when you were in a crowd of people where you all could say, "That's somebody I can believe in."
Well, unanimity or being unanimous is very reassuring. It also can breed ignorance, though. So you got to be careful. You got to keep your eyes open and your ears open.
But the I think my mother had a point. She told me
it's very satisfying. I agree.
That she told me a long time ago. You know, the masses are illiterate, and to a certain extent, that's true everywhere.
That's true. That's
people
true.
Right.
Do want
and
to
Trump
be-
has utilized that very ingeniously, whether he did it as part of his conscious intellect or just happened to do it instinctually. He galvanized a lot of people who will incidentally not support him next time because he hasn't followed through on anything.
Well, and a lot
well,
of people.
Trump's own words were, if he would ever run for president, he would run as Republican, because the Republican, those that vote Republican, are the demographics in this country. That's quote. That's his own words.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's just true. I got to tell you, it's just true. And you know why
the majority, the Republicans are the majority party today because of manipulation. That's it.
You know why Democrats and lefties at the left side of the street doesn't get along so well? Because it's filled with too many thinking, individual, critically thought people.
Right,
who
right.
Who want to argue the fucking details instead of sitting down at the table and doing some compromising.
People have just got to, you've got to ask yourself, if you're going to attack somebody on the left, you've got to ask yourself and think really hard about this. Is this person actually advocating what I don't believe in, or is this person just irritating me with something that I don't want to believe? You've got to ask yourself. For example, we talked about Chris Hedges. I'm just going to mention him briefly. There's a big brouhaha going on the internet right now about what a bad guy he is and all this shit. Hey, Chris Hedges isn't trying to take health care away from people. Chris Hedges is not trying to disenfranchise people. Chris Hedges doesn't stand for those things. You know, it's just stupid to attack guys like that when there are much bigger fish to fry, and people better get their frying pans out and fry the right kind of fish. That's all I got to say.
Well, you know, Chris Hedges has seen regime change and has seen when it's the real bad guys that have to be stopped. He was in Bosnia. He's been, you know,
exactly.
Through his journalistic career, he has been in many places at many times when he has seen the worst. And he's
absolutely
seen the worst of American military and American intervention. He's seen the best of it. I don't think that he would ever advocate for a Putin world at all.
No. He doesn't want bloodshed and stuff like that. He wants to avoid that sort of thing. And he doesn't like forces that are advocating anything goes. He will draw the line, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that at all.
He is totally against is capitalism and 1% in the inequality of money, because he sees that as the root cause of much of the problem. And
I would agree with him.
I would agree with him.
And with Richard D. Wolf, another brilliant spokesman for leftist ideology and economics. That guy's incredible. He blows me away.
Again, though, you know, gee, I guess I got to sit here and say, well, I am guilty of being a capitalist. I work for myself. I make my living. I think everybody should be.
Yeah,
able
but you're
to.
Not trying out. You're not out trying to acquire everything and create a monopoly for yourself. You're just trying to carve out your share of the market. There's nothing wrong with that.
But that's because I understand, and believe me, I was brought up by very, very well-heeled Republicans who went into service as politicians in the military, but who taught me that my community provided every privilege I had, and I owed
right.
that community service back in return, and make sure that everybody had what they wanted or what they deserved. However, that's a Republican that is no longer a part of this country. That's
no, they've been exiled. They're not around anymore.
And equally, Democrats used to stand up for the unions. They used to stand up for the working class. They used to be the ones, the first ones in front of the tank.
For the poor?
The first one in front of the tank or in front of the hoses before anyone could hose down people marching for rights. And they simply, those Democrats, there's a few of them out there, but the majority of them have had to compromise away all of their values to stay in office.
They've become corporatized. That's very bad.
Yes, like a Nancy Pelosi. I mean, it's really hard to speak anymore. And Wayne has worked with Republicans and been a Republican who was there as a good Republican conservative.
I was going to say, there's
moderate liberal
better,
Republicans
there's no better
the
representative than Congressman Wayne Gilchrist of the 1st District of Maryland, and the teabaggers basically crawled up on his shoulders and shit on his head. Because they thought he was, you know, they just wanted to have some say that he wasn't conservative.
They pushed that party
man.
And the Democratic Party far to the right of where it used to be. Way to the right.
So here we have Donald Trump, and I'm listening to two historians, and Hey, listen, didn't Professor Progressive Professor tell us? Didn't Ron tell us? But you know, democracies that have made it in history have had a very short lifespan. And we're coming into a concluding term of those lifespans. And it's like, you know, it's either going to break or it's going to evolve. Well, I don't want a committee telling me what my children can study and where their aptitudes lie or, you know,
no, that's
how much
Putin's vision.
I can take into the bank or how much I can leave out of the bag. People forget, especially people who are so pro-Russia, it seems like these days. The Russians are so great. Yeah, they got no friggin' economy. It's black market.
No, they're a third world country.
All the money is in the pockets of, you talk about a one.
The oligarchs.
Oligarchs. It's all in their pockets. It's in nobody's.
Yeah.
You know, there is no such thing as any kind of socialist or communist authority there. And their idea of democracy is to take everything and leave the people to fend for themselves, except for the military.
And you know, the sad thing is they're still a major military power. That's the only thing that's propping up Putin and his gang, because all those oligarchs, they're self-defeating. They don't realize it, but they are self-defeating, and that shit can't last forever. It's going to be overthrown or they're going to be decimated deservedly,
but it's
going to take time.
And so take time, but here we are at less than a minute to midnight on the atomic clock. And you got
That's
two
scary.
Lunatics.
Yeah,
who
North
have
Korea.
Underneath their fingers. And here we sit, arguing back and forth, forth and back, about, you know, who's going to do what to who, and look at the state of Congress.
We're going to destroy them. They won't be around much longer. What an insane statement. And how all he's doing is egging on Kim Jong-un. It's just a stupid move.
It really is. That's what's going on. I'm sorry, because I cut Wayne off when he was in the middle of a sentence.
Oh.
I didn't mean to, Wayne.
Wayne, go ahead. Are you there, Wayne?
Wayne?
We lost him.
He's
I'm sorry. Here I am. Sorry. I accidentally hit the mute button.
Okay.
Look, we're good forever. Don't worry about it. It's good. We were talking about, you know, the Putin and stuff. I just forgot where we were talking about. What was the company I was going to make?
We got 3 minutes, so just take it.
All right, go ahead. Just
now
go ahead and run with it. Go for it.
No, you, I was telling
Finish
you.
Finish your thought, Wayne.
I don't really remember what we were talking about. What was the thought? I've lost my train of thought.
Shit.
Putin and the
That's
oligarchs
an old
and the corruption in Russia, and they're going to end of their own volition eventually.
That's
what we were talking about.
I was talking with someone, and they were saying, you know, I'm afraid that he's going to start a war with somebody like North Korea and stuff. And I said, well, if he hangs on long enough, he'll do that in the third year, because everybody will always rally around a war president. He's running this verbiage, you know, this piss on your foot, I know I'm going to piss on your foot kind of stuff, because it gives him brownie points with a certain demographics. These same people, these Klansmen, these neo-Nazis, I'm a conservative kind of non-thinking person, because they'll rally around him because he'll be a war president.
Well, he's not thinking forward, and I urge everybody to think forward always. Do your investigation.
You
do your due diligence. Find out the facts. Don't accept what you're told by some idiot somewhere. And I encourage everybody to look at CNN tomorrow night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, for a debate on this upcoming this Graham Cassidy bill, which is a disaster. Will be debated by Senator Klobuchar and Senator Sanders. Watch it, gang.
Very good. Thank you. That's a good bit of information to pass on to everybody, Jack. Good work.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be very enlightening, I'm sure.
Okay, well, thanks. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Wayne.
Yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure.
As usual. This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters. here be Monsters Radio. Lots of monsters out there, guys, you know. And
absolutely.
Congratulations to Chancellor Merkel for and retaining the leadership of the free world. That I do appreciate today. I'm grateful for that. So,
and I'm glad she's picking up the baton for the leadership of the free world, because this Cheeto-dusted piece of crap we have has been a very disappointment to the world leadership
in
general.
Exactly.
Exactly. Not just this country. Definitely the world.
Definitely.
And on that, we'll push forward until next Sunday. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you,
good
Glenn.
Night,
and have a great week, everybody, and keep pushing forward. It's good advice.